So let's see up at the top here. I thought this was interesting. So we get to doing all this stuff, and there's going to be some money involved, whether it be out of each person's pocket to travel or paperwork or something. So we might want to think about the district conference and the district budget and maybe figure out if we do need some money. But I sitting here in session, this is nice to learn, but until we apply this stuff, we're going to need some money, and we're going to need some organization to get guys out active. So, Dennis?
I just wrote from an earlier slide, I wrote down where does the monies come from and what would we do with the monies if we had it. And I just now again thought about that and posed that both those questions. And one of them would be from the district, get the monies from the district. You know, if there was a budget there for the elders' quorum, which is organized, where the other quorums are not, well, they are somewhat organized, not necessarily functioning that well, but anyway, there would be monies, should be monies available from the district. And then what would we do with the monies? So those would be two questions that I'd be asking.
This is important. We might want to get some kind of list of all our members and stewardship of quorum members, the time, talent, money, and occupation. So each one of you report to Dan how much money you make. And anyway, all this other stuff, things that we should know about each other so that we can help organize. But we also need to know things, the gathering, Section 58, he put in here, and there's 7 million scriptures on this. But to push the people together, this is another one of our objectives. Correct church disorder. Wonderful scripture right there, 122, 9c through 10a. Received
a paper on that at the last quorum meeting, I believe.
About correcting church disorder?
Yes.
Okay. I like that. I really like that scripture. It talks about if the church is in disorder, you know, the quorums are pretty important. Receive spiritual insight. I love this scripture. I wish I could do it on a regular basis. Section 104. To commune with the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn to enjoy the presence of God in Jesus Christ. Imagine a room with 96 men who have just got out of a conversation with God in Jesus Christ, or came out of their presence. I think we would have some powerful meetings. They receive counsel, advice from a patriarch evangelist that meets with the quorum. I think this is something that we should consider doing on a regular basis, is to have a patriarch come in and express what the Lord places on their heart. Now, somehow we skipped a million things that I wanted to talk about as I skipped through stuff, and I'm not sure. Are there any? I have a discussion that I kind of ran by our president, and he said it was okay. I know we have some business to transact, so and it's getting late. We've been here for about an hour so far. So anything else anybody wants to add about that? Rudy.
I'd like to just identify that we're talking about organization here, organization structures. There's a document that's come out. I'm not sure who's written it, but it's come out this week, which goes just in the opposite direction of this. And so if you guys see this, I think it's associated with the Joseph F. Smith, Joseph Smith Ministries, and all, but I'm real concerned that this is an apostate document. It talks about just the opposite of what we've been talking about here. So
where did you get that? Is that coming through email or?
Jim Van Cannon sent a copy to me.
Okay.
Sent it to all the officers and asked what we thought of it. And I've got some real concerns about this thing. So just a warning that what we're talking about here, what seems to be well grounded in the scripture, there seems to be another group that's doing just the opposite here.
So, Tom?
I would like to say something about that as General Conference approaches. There is a move afoot that when the conference convenes, there will be a motion to suspend the agenda before the agenda ever begins. Just like it happened last year that derailed the conference for 2 days. And this suspension of the agenda is going to be promoted for the specific purpose of discussing how we're going to implement that document is going to be presented, is going to be presented as this is the unity God is calling for, this is where we should go and what we should do, and it's the implementation of that document. We need to be aware of that, and when somebody stands up to suspend the agenda, we need to be ready to deal with that, and we need to know how to deal with that, and we need to be conversant enough to deal with it.
I really don't want to talk too much about this because I had some things that I, you know, I had some things. So maybe we can. But what kind of you bring up some good counsel, and it's always good for us. There's things that come up on the conference floor. A lot of us aren't really versed in church law. Would it be good for us to read Robert's Rules of Order, or is there some material that we could study to prepare ourselves for some of that legislative business? Does anybody know? Paul?
I think it's going to be more important to have studied the documents that are coming out more than knowing Robert's Rules of Order, because what we're going to be debating is what's going to come on.
Well,
these elders need to educate ourselves on the document, is my opinion.
Okay.
I think the first thing is just to prevent it from happening. We'll not allow the agenda to be suspended.
Okay. Rudy?
Just to give you an idea, we have a conference that's composed of branches. This particular document proposes that there would be something called cell groups with chapters. Those chapters would not have a presider. They would not have an organizational structure of a priesthood like we've been discussing here today. All of those things would be set aside, and these groups would just come together in spontaneity with fewer restraints on times and schedules and openness to the spiritual gifts. So, I mean, it's pretty difficult for me to visualize how something like that's going to happen. But the very thing that we've talked about is structures built around the branch, which we think has been given to us by revelation and all, and this goes just the opposite direction.
I'm going to give Dennis the last word, and then I'd like to sum up the class. So,
I attended several of the meetings with Joseph Smith, and at first I was encouraged, and then it just seemed like it was the same thing every time. Every time it was the same subject, every time it was the same subject. And then several weeks ago, it's probably been almost a month, they started discussing chapters and organizing chapters. Well, that kind of concerned me, so I questioned another person, and they enlightened me to the fact that they were concerned about the same issue, that those chapters would turn into branches and organize and possibly try to organize in the church. When that came about to me, I understood through my own knowledge that that was a very well possibility that it could happen, that those chapters would be easily turned into branches and could be, they could try to form a new church very quickly. And so I have not attended any more of those meetings and will not support that.
I need to say one more thing.
Okay.
This is an effort to disorganize the Joint Conference of Restoration Branches, to destroy it and replace it. Now, if we have any faith that the Conference of Restoration Branches is God's work, we cannot allow this to happen. No matter how many people it offends, no matter what position they hold, no matter what their perspective, when it comes to it's like what's going on in the United States today. It's being dismantled, disorganized, and being replaced with something else. And there are people who want to do that to the General Conference. And we must be aware of that goal And that if this thing comes to a vote and people vote out of deception because they've been deceived into believing something that it isn't, then the conference is going to have to continue without those people.
Okay.
They've chosen to be something besides the Joint Conference of Restoration Branches. And we are the Joint Conference of Restoration Branches. And we may lose people, but we have to be prepared for that. God is going to get this people down to a people who is willing to purify themselves, sanctify themselves, cleanse their hearts and minds, and be willing to keep His commandments. And right now, it evidently hasn't got to that point, and He will continue to sift it until it does.
Thank you. Tom, you have the last word, had the last word, so don't feel so bad, Dennis. Okay, I want to move on. I would encourage every single one of you to fast and pray coming into conference. I asked the question, what should we read? You know, I get up, things happen on the conference floor that sometimes I don't understand what's going on. I don't know how to rebut. You know, if somebody stands up to move the agenda forward, do we have the opportunity to say, no, you can't do that, other than an up and down vote? Will there be discussion on that? Those are the things I don't know. But I would encourage you to fast and pray and come with an attitude of prayer and humility whatever you do, come and study, having studied the documents, knowing what's going to happen on the conference floor. And as the eldership, we need to try to find ourselves more often in the presence of God and Jesus Christ and communing with them so that we can relay the information. You know, if they're on our side, then nobody can stand against us, no matter what the rules of man say. So that would be my recommendation. I want to discuss something. Brother Dan has something to say.
Well, I want you to encourage you to continue the discussion, but can we take care of the two members?
Yep.
No, you can do it.
Oh, okay.
It's Dennis Keene has requested membership,
yep.
And Nathan Perry, who wrote me a letter. He cannot be here every time, but he has expressed in this letter that he would like to be part of the quorum and also be informed of things and stuff. So if we could address those two issues and get those men engaged.
All right, so we have two men, Dennis King and Nathan Perry, both of them ordained elders in the last, 4 months, I think, fairly recently.
Do we need a motion, or how do you want to do that?
Is it just a sustaining?
So,
I think we need some dues.
Yeah.
we'll
talk about hazing later.
I don't know that you need a motion.
Okay. Okay.
That's fine. I think everybody but Rudy has a vote here, but all those in favor of sustaining Dennis and Nathan as a part of our quorum, raise your hand. And those opposed? Okay. And I said everybody but Rudy because he's a high priest, so I don't want anybody to think I was excluding him. Well,
I sustain both of
them. All right. So, all right, so moving on, and thank you, men, for doing that. The discussion that I would like to go into is this elders' quorum thing. And actually, I don't want to spend too much time on it. I would like you to consider, because it's so late in the day, and it is a Saturday, and we want to get out here in decent time. There are some things that were written up there on that slideshow that were on there. A committee to visit quorum members. I want to extend that, and these are my recommendations. We're in a different state than what they were in Kirtland, and we brought that up several times today. We are so disorganized and really dysfunctional. So we have to use some common sense and use our talents and time and not get so caught up in the law of things as to what we are, but really realize that right now we're just a group of elders who meet every single month. We call ourselves a quorum, and we are a quorum, but we have a different responsibility. At that time, there was Aaronic ministers who were actively engaged in home visiting. They were doing their responsibilities. We have Melchizedek priesthood who don't do their responsibilities. So it's our job as men who are trying. We're not saying we're perfect or we're holier than anybody else, but we need to get out and make some noise with some of these guys. So my recommendation is, one, that we set up a committee of 3 or 4 or 5 guys that are in charge of visiting the elders in our Independence District. Okay? And once we get those elders visited, David?
Were we opening this for discussion?
Well, kind of. What do you have to say?
Well, I think that as the former president and counselors, we discussed something of this nature before, that the president and the counselors would meet with pastors and their counselors of the branches within the district and open the door for them to be able to allow us to get into the branch, speak to the elders in that branch, and then try to recruit them to become part of the quorum. I think that's important for us to do that because, one, we need to work through the presiding elder of each branch to do that. And then, again, the only subjects that we're really intently focused on are the elders of that branch. Yeah. And so we would have to have them maybe come together in a area where they're comfortable, which might be their own branch, and speak to them and try to see if we can get them to then commit to themselves to becoming part of the quorum.
Okay.
And if you want to do that in a function that, you know, right now we're having individuals come, like Nathan Curry just sending his voice out, or the King's just coming and applying himself to being a part of the quorum. But we can even make it somewhat formal and have a little, you know, sheet of paper that they can fill out, and that way we get some information about them as they come in. Then we can also maybe list them on our site as members at that point. I don't know if we even have our members listed as a quorum on the site, but we could possibly do that.
Okay, good. We should meet, David. Again, Tom?
I think we're failing here to see what a quorum is and what it means to visit the members of the quorum. Because the quorum has members who are not present. Mm-hmm. If we have a visiting program, it has nothing to do with the branches. It has to do with the quorum. They're members of the quorum, and the quorum is responsible for its membership, and the quorum has the right to go and encourage its already listed members to either participate, mm-hmm. and after they have been encouraged to participate two or three times, if they're not willing to participate, their names must be stricken from the rolls of the quorum, because they don't want to be members of a quorum. They simply want the title of being a member of a quorum. This committee that is being talked about here is to make sure that the quorum members meet together and do their duties. Quorum members who are not willing to do that have to be expelled from the quorum, because they're dead wood. They're in dead works. And they're not strengthening the quorum, they're not edifying their brethren. It's a problem, and we need to address that specific problem.
You bring up a lot of good points, and you're absolutely right. We do need to visit our members, and that's what we were referring to. And
we did
talk about that. I think we're kind of talking about the same thing. We really can't function with just 13 of us. It's so difficult. There's so many things to do. And here, I want to set up a committee. Well, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I would guess that most of us are involved in a committee somewhere at some point. So we really couldn't find five guys who aren't involved in another committee. Brother Dennis.
I just had a question for Tom. Tom, would that also, they're doing that duty within the quorum, would they also be able to do recruitment in the various branches within the district to recruit more elders to come in and come up with ideas?
They're two separate functions.
So you need two separate committees.
Well, I think...
I don't know, but those things are two separate functions.
Well, I understand that they're two separate functions, but could they function within both of those, within that committee?
Sure. But if we want to do that...
You have to make a clear separation. Right.
Well, let me do this. Let me go through my recommendations. And I say my recommendations. We can discuss them. I want to put this out to you, but I have a kind of a purpose that I think all this will point to. And one, if we start with those who are inactive, who we have a list of, those men we have a list. Now, that list may grow, but because we are so small and there's people who just have forgotten about us, that their elders are out there, we need to get a hold of some of those guys and say, hey, we're still here and we're working. So we need to get a hold of those fellows. We need to have something to put to them and say, we're a busy, thriving entity and we need your help. So if we can visit those guys with what will be the purpose and what are some of the things that we could do. I would like to see us, and it was mentioned by Tom, he got with a 70, but I'd like to see that committee or a different committee or a group of us or us as a quorum write a letter, but talk to the 70 and find out how can we help them in outlying areas. What can we do to get our members out there to help assist and put some manpower out there? You know, anybody who's ever gone to an outlying branch knows that there is an 80-year-old man who has to preach every single week somewhere, or maybe 50 years old, however old, maybe a 25-year-old, but there's only one or two priesthood and they do it every single week.
Many
so
branches without an elder.
They don't have the opportunity to pull someone from 5 miles down the road like we do and have them come bring some guest ministry because we're tired of the 30 elders that we look at all the time. So they don't have those privileges. So we need to be thinking about those things. As we get into this, I think we'll find ourselves needing some money. And so hopefully I'd like to see this done this year where we know what we're going to need and we can take some kind of number to the conference and request, you know, maybe just a couple $100 or whatever we think our need is this year and see if they'll give it to us. Dan?
There is a priesthood fund already set that we could draw from.
Okay.
And it's not designated elders' quorum, but it is a priesthood fund.
You know, it's hard for us sometimes. We function so independently for so long. You know, like myself, it would be pretty difficult for me to. I keep thinking of outlying branches. There's one in Wyoming that I know of that I've kind of kept tabs on. I haven't really been up there, but that's a long ways to drive, isn't it? But for myself to come up with the gas money to get up there, it'd be kind of difficult. If there's one of you who does have more money that would be willing to go up there. But, you know, I kind of think, well, I can't afford it, so I'm just not going to go. Well, we live in a pretty wonderful church, and there's many of gracious people, but there are funds available. And so these are the kinds of things that we need to look at if there is need for stay overnight or something. You know, hopefully not, but things like that. So, yeah. The most important thing that I want to get to is we got to get in and visit with these men who aren't here, and you know there's some that are at college and we can't do anything about that for 4 years till they get back, but you know there's some inactivity as well. Brother Les,
you have a list of members of our quorum.
We do, and I don't think we have it here today, but I think that's something we should distribute. And so let me make a note of that. Because last night I was looking and I didn't even, I had deleted the electronic copies, so. List of quorum members. Thank you, Les. We'll make sure we distribute that. And then here's some other things that I think, according to this and the way that it's been done in history, that I'd like to see us implement. We come every month on the third Saturday to learn to be educated. I think I put on my paper every other month, but we have some other things in the works with kind of doing some missionary work out in the neighborhoods and things. I think maybe once a quarter is my suggestion that we meet this time in prayer and testimony, and that we spend an hour, and that's a prayer and testimony service for us to pray and bear our testimony. Do you brothers like that idea? It's something that is one of the quorum's functions to do together, is to meet in that capacity. Steve?
And we're kind of not meeting as a quorum during the district priesthood sessions. It doesn't sound like we're going to be doing that. I'm not sure Chuck's not here, but if we don't have meetings then where we talk about business and so forth, and this traditionally was the class day, Saturday, but now it looks like it's going to have to be our business session. as well as our class day. And so I just think we need to kind of be aware of that, and that we're going to be doing a little bit more business and during this session. I don't know if we're going to have time to develop one whole quorum meeting four times a year to nothing but current testimony.
Well, the other suggestion that I had was that we take that prayer and testimony time and we make it prayer time, and then we use the rest of that time for legislation. So once a quarter we would meet in legislation, I guess, if you wanted to do that. Tom?
I think it would be very well for us as a quorum to implement as much as we possibly could of what historically has been quorum business. It doesn't matter that we're small. We have to operate like we're a full quorum. And if we will organize ourselves to function as a full quorum, God will bless our efforts. If we function as though we're not quite a quorum, we're just kind of a group of elders that meet together, God will not honor us because we are not honoring the quorum responsibility. If we want God's blessing, we have to do things God's way. And if we choose some lesser way, then we're simply telling God, in effect, your blessings aren't that important to us. We have to learn that God is sovereign. His will and His way is the only thing that matters. And when we intentionally, knowingly fall short of that, choose to come short of that, we're choosing to be out of His will and out of His way, and His blessings must be withheld. We have no promise when we don't do things His way, according to His will. We need to function like a quorum.
Brother Dennis? It's not the final word.
Anyway, I was just going to say, and I agree with Tom on that. I don't know if I'm extending it a little bit, but I think that any time that the elders quorum or any quorum would be getting together, prayer should be the first thing on our hearts. That we pray for the quorum, we pray for the people, we pray for the church. And that any time that we have something that comes up within the quorum that needs to be discussed, I think it requires us to do it under prayerful consideration before we make a final decision. Because I think that in itself, the Lord will bless us if we do that prayerful consideration. If we just mindlessly, talk about a subject and then we make this vote about something and we haven't stopped to have some prayerful consideration on it, I think maybe we're missing the boat a little bit on that as far as our prayers. I think prayers can continue within our quorum meeting when it's needed. I know that in the conference, especially in times past, and it hasn't happened within the last couple of years, but whenever there was some dysfunction within the conference, they would suspend the rules, we would stop and we would have prayer. And people would get on their knees and pray for whatever the situation was. And when the time is right, that's when we should pray.
That was done last spring, actually. So we still do it. Rudy?
I'd certainly be in favor of the quorum meeting for prayer and testimony. Perhaps the quorum ought to think about going one step further. It used to be in the center stake that there was an afternoon prayer service on Sunday afternoons that was held at the Stone Church, Stone Church and then later Stone Church Educational Wing there. And those services were held from about, I don't know, the Edwin used to carry me. kicking and screaming for those services. What were they, about 2:30 in the afternoon to about 4 o'clock, something like that? 4:30, 2:30, something like that. And perhaps the quorum might want to oversee those services again, or implement those services again, invite the whole church. Maybe we just do it once a month to see what kind of response we get in time. Maybe that'll grow to every Sunday. I don't know. So think about it.
I like the idea of meeting for prayer, and I think we should consider that. You know, maybe prayers didn't take but 10 or 15 minutes this morning. So, you know, if we remain small, if we have a larger group, which we hope to sum up what we need to do is we need to implement some of these things. We've had a discussion with going into some of our branches' neighborhoods, and so we need to apply those things. We do need to get out and visit our brothers in the quorum who are not attending, and so here swiftly, quickly, at some point we need to get that before we can't do anything really until we have contact information. So I will work on that and make sure that we can get those distributed. I'll try and work with Dan and David, and we'll see where that list is and if we need to update it. I know there's an email going around with the district trying to get all the branch information, and it'd be good to know all the elders that are, there's a ton of elders. I can think of about five young men who are elders who I haven't seen here one time. So we should try to get some of those guys. But you know, we do a lot of teaching. This particular meeting we teach. It would be really edifying for our quorum and edifying for the elders, albeit maybe not right away, but in the future, and I'm talking maybe years down the road. We here have an opportunity for our men, as your brothers, to stand here and who've never taught a class before, and to be able to teach or to be able to learn topics. The best way to learn is by teaching. And so once we get these new people in here, like Dennis and Nathan Perry and all these new guys, we should give them an opportunity, whether to preside over some of these prayer services or to teach some sort of devotional or class, whatever they're comfortable doing. And or another thing we might want to consider is some of the basics. On one of those slides I skipped over was they talked about I forget what the word was, but it was basic stuff about being a priesthood man, how to perform ordinances, how to stand in front of a group of people and talk. Those are the kinds of things that they talked about. There's a 70 in our branch here. He talks about going to the quorum meetings with, I think, Arthur Oakman, and they would open up their suit coats and they would give them a full body check to make sure they didn't have pens in their pockets and phones and all kinds of stuff, that they were dressed properly and things. And, you know, certainly we don't want to do that, but that was at the quorum meeting. They had to have their full suit on. But there's instructional things that need to be done that we could do for our younger, less experienced elders. Steve?
Another idea might be that when someone joins the quorum, we could welcome them and we could give them a packet, let's say a certificate of membership in the quorum, maybe a copy of Dwight P. Davis's Ministry of the Elder, or if we had a little handout, the purpose of quorum, maybe Gary's paper here, history of quorums, you know, just have a little packet to hand to that new member of the quorum saying, we welcome you, here's the list of all the people in the quorum, the quorum walk roster, here's history of the Independence District Quorum, here's Ministry of the Elder, here's, you know, all this stuff. You know, it might cost a little bit of money if we started getting a lot of people joining the quorum, but those kind of resources might be helpful to new members.
Certainly. David?
I don't know what we're doing with the site, not visited it. So I don't know if we're getting the classes online so that they're at least the audio.
They are getting on there?
Yeah.
So everything we've talked about is going to be on there?
One of the things
it's being recorded.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that we're concerned about is the eldership being involved. And some elders are just not going to be able to make these morning sessions. They have to work on Saturdays. But we might be able to make the opportunity for them to go online at their convenience and listen to it and have a way that they can check off that they've done that, you know, and that becomes part of their stewardship to say, yeah, I listened to that class and here's my feedback, and, you know, as if I were there, and be able to do that. And that may give them the opportunity to feel more, you know, participatory in the process. And so, those are some things that we might be able to do to alleviate some of the problems of whether or not that particular elder is going to be involved in the quorum, or whether we're going to pull them out because they can't come because they're working, or but give them opportunities to be able to be involved outside of this particular moment in time on Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Tom?
We were just mentioned about how we dress. If we come here with the idea that we're going to fellowship with each other, doesn't really matter how we're dressed, does it? If we come here with the idea that we're going to fellowship with the Church of the Firstborn, whose foundations are in heaven, and with the King of creation, we might want to come a little bit more respectably dressed than just the way we would otherwise. I don't know that it really matters. I went up to Nauvoo last weekend, and I told my wife, she says, "Where's your tie?" I said, "Well, I wasn't going to take one." She says, "Take a tie." She says, "You're there to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, not just yourself. And you need to be presentable to the people in a more appropriate fashion." That's considered a pretty old-fashioned idea nowadays. But it was a measure of commitment, sincerity, devotion, our love of God, and who it was that we were coming to commune with, rather than just thinking it was a place to enter fellowship with each other. It might be worthy of our consideration to some extent, personally, if not as a quorum, at least personally, how do we want to appear when we come to appear before our Lord in quorum session? And if we want to commune with the Church of the Firstborn, which is a glorious church, do we want to be wearing the wedding garment, or do we want to be cast out because we're not and unacceptable for that communion? Just something to think about.
Thank you. Dennis?
I don't know if this is true or not, because I wasn't around then, and I wasn't. I do remember some of the communion services at the auditorium, but I heard that in times past that the prophet or somebody of his choosing would go and check each of the people that were serving, and they had to be similarly dressed with long sleeves, and if they had short sleeves, they were either asked to not serve, or they were asked to go home and change their shirt and come back to serve the sacrament. So I don't know if that was all true or not, but it would make sense. Back in those days, they were very strict about their dress during ordinance service.
Well, I'm not advocating that we...
I know.
And I think we should stay away from that subject right now. But I think Tom raises a good question. Many times we come, even to a situation like this, you know, I think the Lord would be eager to stand here and speak to us himself if we would come in the right frame of mind. And maybe he's going to have to get us in our wrong frame of mind. So Well, then it's your coat of dress or whatever. It's your heart is what we're talking about here, and we do need to come more prepared. I hope that you learned a little something. I hope that the conversation was good for you. I want us to, and we as an elders quorum, we need to grow. I love this time every third Saturday. I love it. I love being able to sit with you guys and learn. And I would like us to be able to grow our not only our numbers but our power, so that the quorum and the things that we are supposed to represent, we truly represent with all the things that we've talked about. This idea, this committee that's appointed to visit members, that was appointed to that Kirtland Elders Quorum. It wasn't just appointed to some small group of men who needed to grow their numbers. It was appointed to a large quorum. So that will always be there. Once we appoint that, that needs to be a constant thing, that there is a committee that is there to visit the other brothers in the quorum. So anyway, I hope everybody learned something. March 16th or 17th?
Why don't you ask?
Okay, there's a priesthood retreat at Geneseo, and our district is invited to go, the priesthood, and I'm going to go, and I think our pastor Paul is thinking about going. Dennis is going.
And I'm going.
Tom is going. Is there interest in going?
This meeting.
Okay.
Meeting.
No, there's a priesthood retreat in Geneseo, east of St. Louis, up in Illinois. And we're
way up.
Okay. Is it way up there? I really haven't seen it on the map. Okay. So it's a ways away. 6 hours away, he said. But there's a retreat. And what I'm asking is, if we're all going to go, or a good number of us are going to go, then we'll cancel or postpone next month's quorum meeting. So if you would like to go and you're planning on going, would you raise your hand? Okay, if you're going to shoot me if we cancel our quorum meeting next month, raise your hand. I'm sorry, Les.
No, but I would like to make a comment.
Okay.
I'd like to go to it. It's a quorum meeting.
Dennis?
That speaks to what I was going to say here, and that is that the quorum needs to state the fact that they do support that Geneseo retreat for the priesthood, that more elders might attend, more priesthood might attend, that if it was proclaimed by this quorum that, you know, this quorum is going to stop, you know, what they're doing next month to go to that we feel as though it's important.
We'll need to send that out in an email. So
back to tie that in just a little bit, we talked about that document that Rudy has, and I just wrote down that the elders need to research the facts on things of that nature, no matter what it might be, and pray over those things, and make recommendations to the various branches concerning that, because I think that if we're researching it, we know the information, we're praying about it, we're getting some direction and guidance from the Lord, that we should offer our recommendations to the branches so they and offer the research that has been done so that they're well informed, like what Tom was talking about. Before we get to conference, these people need to be well informed. If they're not well informed, then they're not informed voters. They're not informed. They don't have a true voice and vote in the conference. And I think this also empowers this quorum to be more functional instead of dysfunctional, and it will get more elders to want to be in this quorum if we're more functional and we have the presence of the Lord.
Is there one that closes with prayer? Brother Kent, would you close with prayer? All right. Father and our God, in the name of thy Son, Jesus, we come before thy throne at the close of this meeting today. We thank you for your spirit that you've sent to us, that we've been able to communicate and share ideas and listen. We pray that as we go forward from here, that we would take some of the thoughts that were presented and then we'd make them work in our lives.
Pray, Heavenly Father, that each of us will find ways in which we can align ourselves more fully to your concepts, to your precepts, to your desires for us as ministers of the gospel. Help us, Heavenly Father, to search out the intangible things of thy kingdom, that we would be able to share those things with those whom we meet, that we, when we speak, would be able to speak with those we speak as the ones who have authority and not from ourselves. Father, I pray that your Spirit would guide and direct each one of us and help us as we seek to function in the office and calling that we have been given. In the name and by the power of thy Son, Jesus Christ, we ask you to be with us as we leave. Amen.